Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 lesson on tightening a Jungle 808 tail with macro controls, so you can get those classic old-school DNB vibes without drowning your breakbeat. If you've ever had an 808 that sounded huge and solo, but once the drums came in it started smearing the kick, stepping on the snare, and turning your low end into soup, this lesson is for you. In jungle and darker drum and bass, the 808 is not just a bass note, it's part of the drum arrangement. It needs to hit hard, decay in the right place, and stay out of the way when the break starts getting busy. What we're going to build is a flexible 808 tail rack that you can control with macros. That means you'll be able to tighten the tail, lengthen it, add dirt, darken it, and keep everything mono safe and mix friendly. The goal is to make one 808 sound behave like several different drum tools depending on the section of the track. So let's start at the source. First, load your 808 kick or 808 sub hit into Sampler, or into Sampler if that's your preferred workflow. If you're treating it like part of a drum kit, putting it in a drum rack makes a lot of sense. For jungle and old school DNB, choose a sample that already has a clear attack and a tail with some body. You want something that feels musical, not too clean and not too destroyed. Tune the sample so it fits the key of your track. If your tune is in F minor, get that 808 sitting on F or an octave below. That way it supports the harmony instead of fighting it. Also, keep the raw level sensible before processing. You do not need to slam it right away. A peak somewhere around negative 12 to negative 8 dB gives you room to shape the tail later without overload. Now go into Sampler and shape the envelope. If you're in classic mode, set it up for one-shot triggering. Keep the attack basically at zero, maybe a few milliseconds at most. Then set the decay to something musical. A good starting point is somewhere around 250 to 600 milliseconds, depending on how fast your break is moving. Sustain should be at zero for this style, and release can stay fairly short, around 20 to 120 milliseconds. Here's the key idea, don't think only in terms of volume. If the 808 is ringing too long, shorten the decay itself. That gives you a cleaner low-end stop, which means your kick and snare can breathe. In jungle, that tight relationship between the 808 and the break is everything. A slightly shorter tail often sounds more powerful, because it leaves room for the rhythm to speak. Now we're going to make this thing controllable. Drop an audio effect rack after the instrument and build a processing chain inside it. This is where the rack becomes performance ready. A solid starting chain, a saturator, then EQ8, then autofilter, then a compressor or glue compressor, and finally utility at the end for mono and gain control. Once the chain is in place, map your important controls to macros. Think of the macros like your front panel for the sound. One macro can control tail length feel, another can control dirt, another tone, another clamp or compression, another width, and another output level. A really useful setup is to have two separate volume stages. One stage controls the actual tail behavior, like the envelope or post-sample decay feel, and another stage controls the final process tail level. That way, you can shorten the body of the 808 while still letting the tail sit in the groove if you want a little extra presence. That's very handy in jungle, where the 808 might need to be punchy in one section and more open in another. Let's talk about tightening the tail creatively. If you want a more musical way to control the tail than simply turning decay down manually every time, use a mapped gain control after the sampler, or a rack-based volume control. The idea is to let the transient stay strong while trimming the tail portion that hangs around too long. That keeps the first hit solid and the low-end bloom under control. A good starting macro range for tail level is from 0 dB down to about negative 12 dB. If you're mapping decay directly, try moving from something like 600 milliseconds down to around 180 milliseconds. That's a big enough change to feel obvious, but still musical. If you add compression, you're aiming for light control, not heavy squashing. Around 2 to 4 dB of gain reduction is usually enough to tighten things up without making the 808 feel lifeless. Next up is saturation. For old school jungle weight, saturator is your friend, but use it like a tone tool, not just a loudness booster. A little drive can help the 808 read on smaller speakers and make the tail feel more aggressive. Start with 2 to 6 dB of drive, soft clip on, and keep the output compensated so you're hearing the change in character, not just hearing it louder. Map the drive to a macro so you can move from clean to dirty fast. At the low end of the macro, the sub should stay clean and round. At the high end, the tail gets more attitude, more edge, more of that gritty old school vibe. If it gets too buzzy, ease off the drive and use EQ to clean it up instead of just pushing harder into distortion. Speaking of EQ, This is where you make the 808 fit the track. Use EQ8 to carve space for the kick and break. You usually don't want huge EQ moves here. In drum and bass, small changes go a long way. If the 808 is clashing with the kick body, try a small dip around 120 to 180 Hz. If it sounds boxy or cloudy, a gentle cut somewhere around 250 to 400 Hz can help. And if the saturation makes the top end too bright, take a little off the highs. A great move is to map a low-pass filter or a single EQ band to a macro called something like darkness or tone. That gives you an easy way to make the 808 feel more distant in the intro, then open it up later in the arrangement. In jungle, that kind of filtered tension can be super effective. A darker tail before the drop often feels bigger than just turning everything up. Now let's make the tail sit in the groove with compression. Add a compressor or glue compressor after saturation if the 808 is jumping out too much or creating level spikes. You want the tail to feel even, especially when it's playing against chopped breaks. A ratio around 2 to 4 to 1 is a good starting point. Attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds lets the transient breathe, and release around 80 to 150 milliseconds helps it recover naturally. Again, you're only looking for a few dB of reduction on the loudest hits. If the tail becomes too flat, back off. In jungle, the character of the 808 is often the contrast between the punch and the decay. If you clamp it too hard, it stops feeling alive. Now for motion and arrangement control. Auto filter is brilliant here. Map the cutoff to a macro called tone or darkness, and use that to shape your sections. In an intro, keep the 808 low passed so it feels distant and dubby. In the drop, open it up so the harmonics come through more clearly. In a switch up, you can even automate the filter to close briefly before a fill, then reopen on the next bar. A really practical way to think about it is phrase behavior. Shorter and darker for busy sections, longer and a bit more open for sparse sections. Then maybe one or two exaggerated moments before a transition. That gives the 808 musical movement instead of making it feel like a static sample repeating over and over. At the end of the rack, use utility for final control. Keep the low end centered, and keep the width near 0 to 20% for the core sub. If you want width, add it only to higher harmonics or parallel dirt, not to the fundamental itself. The sub should stay mono and solid. That is a huge part of making the low end work in drum and bass. Also, use utility to trim the final output so the rack stays level matched. If the sound gets bigger after processing, don't just let it be louder. Level match it so you can hear whether it's actually better, not just more hyped. Now let's talk about automation, because this is where the rack becomes a real production tool. Once your macros are mapped, draw automation on the clip or track lane. You can make the 808 tail shorter when the break is dense, then lengthen it when the arrangement opens up. You can add more dirt into a drop, darken the tail in a breakdown, or tighten the clamp during busy fills. This is the fast workflow that keeps a jungle session moving. One rack, multiple moods. No need to rewrite the bass line every time the drums change. Just automate the macros and let the sound evolve with the arrangement. Here's a really useful teacher tip. If the kick and 808 feel stuck together in a bad way, move the 808 a few milliseconds earlier or later before you do any fancy processing. Tiny timing shifts can clean up the low-end pocket more than EQ ever will. That little adjustment can make the groove breathe instantly. Also, don't be afraid if the 808 sounds a bit less impressive when you solo it. In old-school DNB, the winning move is usually what works in the full loop, not what sounds biggest on its own. If it leaves room for the break and still feels heavy, you're on the right track. A great macro strategy is to link darkness and shortening together on one control. That gives you a tight-to-loose performance knob that feels musical. Turn it one way and the 808 gets shorter and darker, which is perfect for busy drum sections. Turn it the other way and it blooms a bit more, which works beautifully in breakdowns and transitions. If you want to go a step further, try a parallel dirt lane. Duplicate the 808, saturate the copy heavily, low-pass it, and blend it quietly underneath the clean version. That gives you a strong sub-core with a nasty little layer of grime on top. It's a classic trick for making the tail feel bigger without sacrificing clarity. You can also sidechain the 808 gently from the kick or even the snare. Keep the reduction subtle. The point is not obvious pumping, just enough movement to create space and fast break edits. In jungle, even a little sidechain can make the low end feel more intentional and better lock to the groove. Another useful variation is to resample the processed 808 once you've got the rack sounding good. Bounce it to audio, then chop it into new hits. That old school approach can bring a lot of life into the arrangement, because now the tail itself becomes something you can hit it like a brake. Let's wrap this into a practical exercise. Build two versions of the same 808 rack. One should be clean and short for busy brake sections. The other should be longer, dirtier, and a bit more dramatic for drop moments. Map at least four macros: tail length, dirt, tone, and clamp. Then program an 8-bar loop with a jungle break and place 808 hits on the downbeats or syncopated accents. Automate the macros so the first half stays tight and filtered, and the second half opens up and gets dirtier. Listen in mono while you do it. That's important. If the 808 still hits hard in mono and doesn't mask the kick or snare, you're in a great place.